The White House unveiled its long-awaited Israeli-Palestinian peace plan this week. The plan, among many other things, includes allocating more land to Israel, while also including a call for a four-year settlement freeze by Israel. It also includes a framework for an independent Palestinian state with several conditions for that to become a reality, including disarmament of the group Hamas. Here's President Trump talking about the plan at the White House yesterday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
My vision presents a win-win opportunity for both sides. A realistic two-state solution that resolves the risk of Palestinian statehood to Israel's security. Today, Israel has taken a giant step toward peace. Yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu informed me that he is willing to endorse the vision as the basis for direct negotiations.
However, Palestinian leaders, including Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, do not support the proposed plan, calling it a, quote, conspiracy deal, end quote. Our next guest joins to talk about the plan and the response so far. Nahal Tusi is foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. Nahal, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we just touched on a couple of the basic parts of the deal. What are some of the other major proposals that the president and the Israeli leadership are making here?
Well, one key thing is basically that the plan envisions Israel gets control over the Jordan Valley, which effectively means that a Palestinian state, if it ever ends up existing, would be basically enclosed by Israel all around for the most part, with a couple of, you know, exceptions like the Gaza Strip. And also that that Israel would get to control a bunch of major settlements that already exist inside the West Bank. And what's really striking about that is that effectively the Israeli prime minister said that he's going to go ahead and apply or move to apply Israeli law to those areas that he sees that the president of the United States has effectively said is going to be part of a future state of the future Israel. And so that basically means that Israel is annexing the West Bank settlements as well as the Jordan Valley, even before the Palestinians are given their own state. And that is, you know, and they're going to have a vote on it in the Israeli cabinet this Sunday. And it's interesting because the Israelis are trying to make a distinction. They're basically saying, look, we're just going to be applying Israeli law. That's what we're going to be voting on. It's not annexation. But for the international community, that's really a distinction without a difference. It's effectively the same thing. And, you know, other pieces, I mean, it's a very detailed plan. I was really struck by how detailed it was. But some of the stuff in it just seems kind of unlikely. For instance, the idea that Hamas is going to have to disarm. I just don't know how the Palestinian leadership in the West Bank is ever going to make that happen.
Now, a key thing here, were the Palestinians at all involved in drafting or negotiating the plan release this week?
No. In the beginning, when the Trump administration started pursuing this idea, there was some outreach to the Palestinians. But then Trump started making moves that were just so, so pro-Israel. I mean, he was siding with Israel on virtually everything. And the Palestinians pretty quickly realized that, or they decided that this was just not going to work, that they're better off ignoring this administration. Now, that's their point of view. And basically, when President Trump decided to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and move the U.S. embassy there, that was the last straw. So the Palestinians have cut off contact ever since. Now, look, it's possible that, like, via classified channels or something, there's some you know, way to reach them for whatever extreme reason you might need to. But in terms of, like, getting Palestinian input for this plan or anything like that, no, pretty much no. And the way that the Trump administration has kind of approached this is, look, this is a take it or leave it thing. This isn't, like, you know, a starting point for negotiations. This is the deal. And the Palestinians just don't understand why they would have to give into that after 70 years of conflict. And not just only that, but, you know, they just feel like their concerns are not being listened to in any way at all. And it's really extraordinary. On the other hand, you know, the Trump administration has made some decisions that are going to be hard to reverse and that some future administrations may not want to reverse. Like the embassy and the Jerusalem thing, I don't think any president, the U.S. president in the future, is going to reverse those moves. But another thing that the Trump administration did is they're trying to redefine what it means to be a Palestinian refugee. Basically, they're saying descendants of the original Palestinian refugees cannot be considered refugees anymore. And so that is aimed at basically very much limiting the number of people who would in the future be able to claim the right to return to that territory. And that's something that, you know, I know that a lot of, you know, Democrats are saying that that's unfair. That's something that the two parties should decide, et cetera. And of course, the Palestinians are rejecting it. But I wouldn't be surprised if in the future you saw U.S. administration stick to that because they just view the idea of millions and millions of Palestinians in the diaspora around the world going back as something untenable for Israel.
Talking to Nahal Tusi from Politico, looking at the proposal released by the Trump administration this week on Israel and Palestine. Want to give a listen to President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, serving as a senior advisor in the White House, heavily involved in drafting this plan. Here he is on CNN defending the proposal.
What you've seen today is that President Trump's built a lot of trust with the state of Israel. He's done a lot of great things that have made Israel more secure and the relationship between America and Israel stronger. And what he's been able to do today is deliver for the Palestinians a pathway to a state, a contiguous territory, and conditions where they can earn their way to their independence, their dignity, all these different things, along with a $50 billion economic plan that could make them a very, very thriving state in the future. So it's a big opportunity for the Palestinians. And, you know, they have a perfect track record of blowing every opportunity they've had in their past. But perhaps maybe their leadership will read the details of it, stop posturing, and do what's best to try to make the Palestinian people's lives better.
Let's touch on a couple of those points there. What is the pathway to a state for Palestinians under this proposal?
Well, they basically have to accept, for instance, the idea that Israel is going to control security in this future Palestinian state for effectively ever, although the idea is that over time, you know, that Israelis would cede control of security. And that's just, I mean, I just don't think that's realistic. And so that's something, you know, they're effectively a demilitarized, landlocked state for the most part, except Gaza, with a bunch of like West Bank settlements within them that are controlled by Israel and which Israel controls the security around them and inside them. So look, what the Palestinians are thinking now increasingly is this is basically a one state solution that this administration has come up with. It's effectively one state, but it's an apartheid state because you have two groups of people and one group does not have equal rights and is living, in their view, under a sense of occupation. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this basically fuels a more rights-based movement among the Palestinians, basically with the idea that, fine, we'll live in one state, but we get to have equal rights as citizens. And that basically raises questions about the future identity of Israel. Will it remain a Jewish majority country? Can it stay democratic and retain that identity? These are big questions, but I think basically what this plan is kill the two-state solution.
And is the Palestinian negotiating position weakened because they're not seeing as much support from Muslim countries, Arab countries, especially in the Middle East, that they used to be able to count on?
It is weakened, absolutely, because a lot of these Arab countries, in particular heavyweights like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, their bigger concern now is Iran. And they have been willing to coordinate with the Americans, with the Israelis and others on finding a way to push back Iran, even if it means staying quiet or downplaying the Palestinian cause. And so, yeah, it's very different now than it was even a few years ago, really.
We've seen initial, as you were saying, a negative reaction from Palestinian leaders on this. What are you watching for now that this plan is out there?
Well, the question is, how will some of these parties respond? I mean, is Hamas going to, this is the militant group that controls the Gaza Strip, are they going to try to carry out some sort of violence in response to this? Will the Palestinians see if there's a way to shore up support among the Arab countries again, but also maybe with non-Arab countries that have come to side with them to a degree, such as Turkey, such as Iran? I think a big point also is that one of the real striking things about this is that basically the Trump administration was betting on the idea that if they promised the Palestinians billions of dollars in economic assistance, which, by the way, would not come from the United States for the most part, they were hoping Arab countries would step up for that, that the Palestinians would just go for that, even if it meant giving up their political rights. And I don't know if that's something that could, down the line, if you have a particularly even more impoverished Palestinian community, even more desperate one, if that's something that will bring people to the table or not. My guess is no. But I do think that this idea of like, look, we will help improve your status, your economic status, but you have to forego these political rights you want. I wouldn't be surprised if the Trump administration at least keeps wishing that. And I think one important question is whether Trump will be reelected. And if he is, how much he and Kushner and others push this plan, or whether it just gathers dust on some shelf.
Nehal, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Nehal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent for Politico. She joined us today to talk about the White House's proposed Israeli-Palestinian peace plan that was released this week, largely orchestrated by the president's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, receiving mixed reviews, big support from the prime minister of Israel, not support, though, from Palestinian leadership so far. A lot to watch out for in the coming weeks.